Daggermouth by H.M. Wolfe, read by Teddy Hamilton
and Angel Peen.
Chapter 1. Mercy is dead. The first thing you'll learn in Newfound Haven is mercy no longer exists. Showing mercy is a weakness, and weakness will get you killed. The second thing is this: the Vera are always watching. From the highest glass atrium in the heart to the windowless slum dens of the boundary, no movement goes unseen. The last lesson is the hardest. You must remember it, as Grayson Sorrell did, standing in the center of the plaza's monolithic platform behind two bound and kneeling rebels. Love outside of your ring was a death sentence. The heart was home to the elite of Newfound Haven, the 1%. The rich, and they wore masks to hide their faces. The square slowly filled with those who resided in the heart, coming not for belief in justice, but for proximity. Proximity to power, to witness the suffering caused by the enforcement of that power upon those they claimed as less than. They came for the satisfaction of seeing blood spilled at someone else's expense. The elite pressed shoulder to shoulder, obediently silent beneath the evening sky, as the live stream flickered to life against the mirrored surface of the twin towers erected at Grayson's back. The towers stood in the middle of the heart, the very center point of Newfound Haven, where all corruption spilled from. A buzz of energy filled the air, saturating through every ring of the city as billboards, usually spewing endless streams of propaganda, switched to the live feed. It was law in Newfound Haven that any person who betrayed the heart was executed publicly. The raised platform where Grayson stood had been constructed in the absolute center of the plaza, where the veins of the city's four main boulevards crossed. The two condemned rebels knelt, with their hands bound in red cord, and beside them, in a tight formation, the Vera enforcers stood in ceremonial red, boots shining, helmets on, their batons held at precise right angles, with guns strapped to their backs. Grayson stayed unmoving, his mask covering his face, gloved hands folded over his militant onyx garb. He looked neither left nor right, nor at the condemned, only straight ahead, watching, observing. The platform was illuminated, not just by the heart's orbital lamps, but by the harsh blue spotlight of the media drones as they circled, their lenses feeding every gesture, every tremor of the rebels to the rest of Newfound Haven. On monitors across the cardinal and boundary rings, the event was broadcast live in high-definition clarity. The crowd's attention was absolute. The masked elite looked up toward the rebels like deadly flowers soaking in a poisonous sun and waited for the carnage to begin. Grayson let the silence ferment. He waited until he felt the nervous pulse of the crowd sink with his own breathing, until the two on their knees began to twitch from the weight of attention. Only then did he step forward, moving his arms behind his back as the thud of his boots echoed against the marble dais. He did not read from the script. He didn't need to. His father had beaten the lines into him. "For crimes against the motherland," Grayson started, his voice perfectly modulated, "and for violation of the sacred laws of Newfound Haven, these criminals stand judged by the heart." Grayson glanced at the crowd. The mask hid the micro twitches of his jaw, the bloodlessness of his lips, but not the flatness of his gaze. "By order of President Maximus Sorrell, justice will be enacted in the manner most befitting the crime. Death. The charges are as follows: conspiracy against the heart, illegal communication between the rings, fornication, and love across faction lines." A ripple of approval sounded from the masked crowd, as if a liturgy had been completed. Grayson raised a hand, silencing them. The man was from the boundary, the outer ring of the city, a nobody with a face scarred by acid runoff from the industrial plants and poor nutrition. His clothing had been stripped of all rebel markings. He stared at Grayson with the intensity of someone who had nothing left to lose. The woman,